Welcome to another New Zealand Doctor podcast. This is an audio version of The First Time, a series of articles written and presented by me, Dr. Joe Scott-Jones. The First Time articles are intended to stimulate thinking for young GPs coming across things for the first time, and also put some juice in the belly of old codgers like me. This time, we're going to talk about having professional conversations with a senior colleague. In an ideal world, we would all be so quality-focused that having our faults and clinical admissions pointed out to us would be seen as a truly positive professional experience. In reality, it can be really hard to approach any colleague with advice or an update around clinical management. We fear causing offence. We don't want to appear arrogant. We need to ensure that we can have an ongoing working relationship with our colleagues, that it's based on mutual trust and respect, rather than one of criticism and suspicion. Newly qualified GPs are often more aware of the latest evidence-based approaches to care compared to their more senior colleagues, and this perceived power imbalance adds another layer of complexity to a delicate problem. Let's take an example of a newly qualified GP working alongside a near-to-retirement ex-GP trainer whose management of new-onset mild iron deficiency anemia is to prescribe iron tablets, omitting any apparent consideration for investigation of causes. In a practice where management arranges regular set-piece clinical meetings when the team can develop common management plans and update clinical knowledge, it should be easy. Iron deficiency anemia can be reviewed as a clinical topic and discussed in this non-threatening setting. An audit of clinical behaviour could be arranged and a continual quality review cycle begun. Unfortunately, many practices don't have regular clinical meetings, and where they do, it's not unusual for senior colleagues to fail to attend or just not allow meetings like this to change their practice. Clearly, in our practice example, patients may be being put at risk. An underlying GI tumour or bleed is not an uncommon explanation for iron deficiency anemia, particularly in men and in people over 45, and the senior colleague is at best delaying a diagnosis. Unchecked, this behaviour is likely to bite someone on the bum in the not-too-distant future. As ever, first you save yourself. It's wise to share your anxieties with others. A peer group may have a specific response to a situation like this that's tailored to the people involved, particularly useful if the peer group is totally outside the practice but knows it well. One option could be to arrange a professional conversation with the colleague. One of our responsibilities as professionals is to monitor and improve our performance as a profession. On an institutional basis, this shows itself through the Medical Council and its process of registration, review, remedy, and revalidation or dismissal. And for GPs, our college and its responsibility for training and quality improvement is, of course, very important. On a personal basis, I believe we all have a responsibility to be able to hold professional conversations with each other. Times when we need to say things to each other about our clinical judgment, our ethics, our conduct, or our relationships within our role as doctors. A professional conversation is best held in a safe and comfortable setting, flagged and prepared for, and followed up with a further review and consolidation of action. As a junior, you're used to having such conversations with your trainers. The first time you lead such a conversation will feel a bit odd. So, how do you start? Well, think about asking your colleague's permission. Would it be okay if we had a professional conversation sometime soon? The most likely response will be, "What do you mean? What about?" Which opens you up to say, "Well, I don't think we should do this right now, but I want to talk about the management of iron deficiency anemia. I've noticed we do things a bit differently, and I think we should be on the same page." Try not to fall into the trap of an immediate conversation. Your colleague is less likely to be defensive if they've had a bit of time to think about the issue before the meeting. It is useful to have some specific clinical cases to discuss, of course, and ideally a reasonable review article or evidence-based guideline to refer to when you get together. Avoid confrontation, keeping the conversation away from personal comments, for example. This should be easy if it's focused on the patient and clinical outcomes. If the issue is more personal, a colleague who's recurrently late for work or has a reputation of not listening to patients, keep the conversation issue focused and take a problem-solving approach. Look, we need to put this on the table and poke it about with a stick for a bit. When you're late for work, it affects other staff and patients. Is there something we can do about this? Don't forget to arrange a review meeting in a few weeks to consolidate a discussion and take an opportunity to review the case management. Hopefully none of the patients involved had a bowel cancer. I am a senior colleague, and I've been on the receiving end of professional conversations about hypertension management, polymyalgia rheumatica, and hemochromatosis. It's not as bad as you may think. Mind you, no one's had a professional conversation with me about my nose-picking habit yet. Maybe that one will be a bit more difficult. Well, that's it for this News in a Doctor podcast. Be sure to look out for the magazine, use a search engine of your choice, and follow me on Twitter at @ApodicGP. See you next time.